is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoop Heads Podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. And tonight we are here for our Western Conference NBA playoff preview. Before we jump into the matchups in the West and talk about some of the key players in each series, let's, Jason, talk a little bit about some of the coaching moves that were made here in the last couple days, starting with the Cavs and Larry Drew parting ways.
Mutually agreeing to part ways, by the
way. Mutually agreeing, which, you know, who knows what that actually means, but
I think the writing was on the wall. I respect Larry Drew a lot. He stuck it out for us, and you know, I think he's a pretty good coach. I think this isn't the situation for him. I thought he kept pretty upbeat and positive throughout the season, despite obviously having lots of trials and tribulations and having to deal with that. So I think he was good for us. But at the same time, I think this was a good decision, and they're going to do an exhaustive search, so to speak. I think Jody Fernandez is probably going to end up being the Cavs head coach based on everything that I've read. And, you know, the whole Cavs organization really loved him when he was here. I would all be all for interviewing Mark Price for the position. Yeah, it seems to be my common stance every single time that the Cavs opening happens, get Mark Price in here. But, I don't know what's going to happen. I would really love to say that I have the Cavs head coach in my phone saved as my contact from our previous, I don't know what's going to happen. But I wouldn't be super surprised, though, Mike, if, you know, I know we haven't talked about the Lakers position yet. And if Ty Lue gets the job, what's the percentage chance that Larry Drew is on Ty Lue's bench as an assistant?
Yeah, interesting. It definitely could happen. I mean, I think Larry Drew did a good job with the team and what he had this year, and often, in my own estimation, sometimes too good of a job. So I really have no idea what direction they're going to go. Obviously, Price would be interesting. I kind of equated to the Browns. Every time there was a Browns opening, Bernie Kosar's name being brought up, although obviously Mark has a lot more qualifications as a coach, but certainly the ties back to the team and being one of the most popular players in the history of the Cavs. I think that would be an interesting choice. It would sort of be an out of the box choice. But we'll see. I don't really have any solid thoughts or intel on who's going to be the next guy.
Yeah.
Part of it depends on, you know, kind of what the draft picks end up.
Well, I was going to say that I think they have to wait for the lottery. They have to wait for to even do this and for the lottery to happen, because I think the candidates for the Cavs
will greatly
increase if we somehow get the number one pick, right?
Correct. Yeah, I think that definitely the pool of candidates expands exponentially if you get the number one pick. And if you don't, then, you know, you're back to probably the average run-of-the-mill candidates that you might bring in. So, yeah, I think they definitely will wait until after the lottery to see what happens there. And then who knows? Who knows what they're
Is Mike Brown going to make his return?
I don't think so. I don't think we're bringing back the clogged toilet offense. I don't think that's coming back. Although I think, to be honest, I'd like to see. I would be very much in favor of Dave Yeager. He's done a good job in both places that he's been.
I can't believe Sacramento fired him. Do you read the thing that Vlade Divac already set up an interview with Luke Walton? That's who he wants.
He
wants Luke Walton. So wait a second. You're telling me you fired a guy who just led your team to the best record that the Sacramento Kings have had since, by the way, 2005, 2006, Mike. They had the best record they've had since 2005, 2006 with 39 wins. You fired a guy who's was seemingly building a culture, and now you're going to bring in Luke Walton, who didn't build any kind of culture in L.A., in my opinion. And I know it was also LeBron-driven and everything, but still, I don't get it. I don't think it makes sense.
All right, so here's my take on that. One is Yeager kind of left unceremoniously out of Memphis as well. So maybe there's something to his personality that maybe he's a little bit prickly with the front office. So I think that plays into it. then as far as the Luke Walton piece goes, you know, if you go back and you look at, okay, he was part of the Golden State staff, and that's the kind of the way that he wants to play, you know, moving the ball and that kind of thing on offense and player movement and just the way that the Warriors get up and down the floor and do all the things that they do. And, of course, you know, totally different personnel. But that style of play, if that's appealing to Vlade, then maybe that's the direction that they're planning to go. I'm not necessarily saying that I think that it's a good move. I mean, anybody who can put together a winning program in Sacramento, and it seemed like from all the reports coming out of Sacramento during the year, it seemed like at least from a player to coach and player to player relationship standpoint that Sacramento had a lot of the good things going, and it seems like the players like each other. It seemed like, you know, they were obviously buying into what the coaching staff was selling. So it does seem pretty odd. I guess it'll be interesting to see
I saw the rationale was, oh, we were in position to make the playoffs, but we did terrible after the All-Star break.
But they didn't take into account,
like, I think Marvin Bagley was injured for like 4 or 5, 6 games. And during that stretch, I think they went 1-5. So like,
yeah, I think it has more to do with some type of personality conflict or organizational strife within, you know, those relationships that caused him to be out. I don't think that was a purely basketball decision. I think it was probably a personality driven decision. And like, you know, if they hire Luke Walton, there's probably been worse hires than giving Luke Walton a second chance. I think LA, you know, he inherited just a, you know, it's a weird group of guys. He had all those young kids. Then you bring Kobe, then you bring LeBron in, and you've got, you know, Lance, the crazy, Lance. Right. You got Lance and, you know,
JaVale and all that.
Right. All the, Michael Beasley and that whole crew. And it just, I don't know, that would be a very difficult situation in which to express yourself as a coach. So
yeah.
I would be okay with, you know, hiring Luke Walton. I hope the Cavs don't hire him, but, you know, I'm okay.
I had heard too that, you know, that him and Dan Gilbert still have a really good relationship, and that would be the way they might look at going that way too. I just don't see it. I don't know. I think they're going to go after that Fernandez guy. And that's where the Cavs are going to end up. And then the other team that fired their coach, once again, Memphis fired their coach, who I feel like he kind of, Bickerstaff got a raw end of the deal, I feel. I mean,
Memphis, there wasn't, you know, I mean, again, Memphis wasn't, you know, they had a bad year, but
Were they equipped to win?
It wasn't the coach's fault. Jaren Jackson went out, I forget, at some point, you know, midway through, maybe a little bit more than midway through the season, and that obviously hurt him.
And then they traded Marc Gasol.
Trading away Gasol. I don't think you can. I don't think you can blame that on the coach, but it seems like they want to do a little organizational house cleaning, so they bumped out Chris Wallace as well, and so it seems like they're kind of trying to put a new blueprint in place. And you know, Jaren Jackson and Mike Conley is a pretty good start, and who knows what happens in the lottery and where they end up and what happens to their, because they have the pick that could convey to Boston, but I'm not sure where they fall. It depends on where they fall in the lottery. I think it's outside of, if it's inside of 8, I think it goes to Boston. If it's outside of 8, I think they keep it, and then it waits until next year. But
yeah. Speaking of the lottery, Mike, the Cavs won the coin or the flip against Phoenix.
That was great news.
I immediately called you, Mike, and said, we need to send a fruit basket to James Jones, since he's the GM of the Phoenix Suns, for beating us on April 1st, fools on you guys.
So that means, I believe, right, that the lowest we can fall is 6.
It's 6.
Is it 6? I thought it was 5.
No, it's 6. This is what I read online. So it's 6. If we would have been in the other position, we could have fallen as far as 8. So I think.
Because I guess, okay, so if you have the second best odds, that means then that if 3 teams moved up, so if all 3 of the bottom, you know, Knicks, Suns, and Cavs, if somebody moved up into each one of those top 3 positions, the Bulls would be at 4, and the Cavs, or I'm sorry, the Knicks would be at 4, and the Cavs would be at 5. Isn't that as low as they could go?
I'm just telling you what I saw. I've seen the lowest that we could be is 6. That's what I saw. Huh. So I can't explain it because I don't quite get all the nuances to this. Let's prevent tanking that doesn't actually work system. So
there's a lot of tanking. Yeah. Well, let's just hope that the balls bounce the right way and we have our Zion podcast for the next whatever 10-12 years. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. So and on top of that, we also have the Houston pick, and they did all the drawing and flipping, and we have the 26th pick for that. So we have, you know, we have 2 first round picks. I don't know how often the 26th pick in a draft turns out to be much of anything, but it's, the NBA is kind of a different thing. But at least we have 2 picks, and that was a pick we kind of gained for trading nothing really, right?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Yeah, I forget what deal brought that Houston pick to us, but we'll see. The draft, you can get good players at 26. I think Rudy Gobert was 27 at some point. So, yeah, you can get a good player at 26, but you can also get guys that never set foot in the league once. Yeah. So it's just a matter of, you know, do you hit on somebody that turns out to be a good player? And the reality is we want to get at the top of the draft so you can get Zion. And if we're drafting at number 6 and number 26, it's not going to be nearly as exciting as getting up to number 1. So,
yeah, I agree. All right, so we're going to go from there and shift into – looking at each of the Western Conference matchups and talk a little bit about who we think are the key players. We'll start with the 1-8 series, the Golden State Warriors versus the LA Clippers. Personally, I think the most important player for Golden State throughout the playoffs is going to be Klay Thompson. Because I think we know what Steph Curry is. We know what all these guys are. Let's be honest. We know what they are.
Right. But they've been in the finals four straight years.
Yeah. But I think Klay Thompson, you know, as long as he stays healthy and he plays the way he's going to play, I think he's going to be the quote unquote X factor. You know, you could easily say, well, maybe DeMarcus Cousins or maybe Draymond Green, but I'm going to go Klay Thompson because I think Steph and KD are the best 2 players on the team, and Klay Thompson's the 3rd best player. So that's what I'm going to say.
All right. So I think Steph's a given, Durant's a given, I think Klay's a given. So I went with Draymond as my X factor guy, simply because if he were to get on a 6-week hot streak making threes, which he hasn't done for a while, but if he were to suddenly start shooting 35, 36, 37% from 3, that just opens up so much for them. And he's been sort of up and down a little bit, I think, defensively. Maybe not had been totally locked in. Again, just like their whole team, it's not totally locked in. And so I think as they dial it up in the playoffs, it'll be interesting to see if Draymond returns that defensive player of the year form. And again, if he makes threes, that they're unbeatable. If Draymond is scoring and making 3-pointers, there is no chance that they get beat. And I don't know that there's a chance anyway, but if he's hot offensively, there's no way they're going to lose.
It's contract season, Mike. It's time to earn your contract, Draymond, because you're about to be a free agent, buddy. So I can see where he was going. I was between Klay and Draymond
and then the other thing with Draymond is he's with whatever potential chemistry issues that team has, Draymond's obviously going to be at the forefront of those. So if something is boiling just under the surface, it's going to manifest itself through Draymond. So that's another reason why I picked him in addition to his play on the court. I think just from a team chemistry / relationship standpoint, I think Draymond's going to hold the key to whether or not the Warriors get beat because of something going on. I think if they lose, it's because he doesn't play well and they have some kind of personality conflict. And they can win without him, but if he plays well, nobody's going to come close
or,
to touch
or
him.
Maybe he punches someone's in the cojones. Maybe
you don't want to have that. You don't want to have that unless you're a fan of one of the other teams. That's for sure. Yeah.
All right. So go ahead.
All right. Clippers. So my Clippers guy is Patrick Beverley. And the reason why I picked Beverley is just because he's such a menace defensively. And if, I mean, there's no chance for the Clippers to win.
I was going to say, if your X factor is Patrick Beverley, you're getting swept. Sorry.
Well, they are getting swept. I saw something today where the odds, they have the lowest odds of winning a first round series of any team in history, I think it was, but I could be wrong. Maybe there was a date attached to it. But at any rate, Beverley is a scrappy defensive player. He can get up into people and bother them. And obviously he's injured Russell Westbrook in the past. So who knows, maybe he, plays a little bit too physical and ends up tweaking somebody's knee, and that could affect the playoffs later on. So that's why I picked Beverley.
I think for me, the Clippers X factor is Lou Williams, even though he's probably their best player. I think he just needs to score like 50 points.
He could do it if he plays major minutes. He's scoring like a point a minute.
Yeah. So I think I'm going to go Lou Williams. That's who I'm going with. I think it's a sweep.
It's a sweep.
All right. Next series, Houston, Utah. I think this is the best series of the whole playoffs to start.
Absolutely.
Best first round matchup.
Two hottest teams, probably the two best teams since the All-Star break. Definitely in terms of the advanced metrics, both teams in the second half of the season have been right near the top, both offensively and defensively. Donovan Mitchell's played really, really well in the second half of the season after starting out slow. Obviously, the Rockets followed that same trajectory, and it's, at least for the moment, their main guys are healthy. So this series, I think, clearly has the two hottest teams, the two teams that if you looked at who has a realistic shot at beating the Warriors, I think these are two teams that you could at least make a case for how they could do it. And to see them facing off in the first round, it's kind of crazy. It's not the series that I would have expected a week ago when we were sitting here talking about what the potential matchups would be.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, and there's so many different things that could happen. We haven't really talked about the key players, but I think this is a 7-game series. I'm thinking it's a 6 or a 7-game series, and I just think it's gonna be a bloodbath, so to speak.
All right,
I think
give me your Rockets guy.
My Rockets guy. I'm gonna go with Clint Capella, and here's why. Because he's got to somehow contain Rudy Gobert, and that's why I'm going with Clint Capella.
All right, that's fair. I went with Eric Gordon simply because it's sort of using the same theory as the Draymond theory, in that if Eric Gordon is playing well and shooting it well, then he just gives him one more option to attack a defense. And if he's knocking down shots, it's hard to be able to send help off of him. And I just think if he's playing well, they're going to be playing well. And then my second choice for the Rockets would have been Chris Paul's hamstring. So
that's true as well. That's a good one.
If that thing can stay healthy, then, they have a shot. I mean, I've been on record as saying I'm not a big fan of the Rockets. I'm not a big fan of Harden. So as I look at what I think is going to happen in this series, I definitely think it's a long series. I'll be stunned if it's over in less than 6 games, and I could see it definitely going 7. My key guy for the Jazz is Joe Ingles. I think if Joe Ingles plays well and does kind of the Swiss Army knife act that he's sort of perfected, that's going to be a big key for Utah. And if he's playing well, I think Donovan Mitchell's going to play well. He proved himself to be pretty solid in the playoffs last year. You know what you're getting from Gobert. You're going to get Defensive Player of the Year caliber defense, and he's improved this year on offense, diving to the rim and just being able to catch the ball and make plays. So I expect this series to go 7, and I rode with the Jazz at the beginning of the season in my prediction. So I'm gonna ride with the Jazz again. I'm actually going to say Jazz in 6 because the Rockets have the home court advantage. So I'm going to go Jazz in 6.
All right. Well, so for my Jazz player, I also had Joe Ingles because I just think he's kind of the key. You know, like you said, we know what we're going to get with Gobert. We know what we're going to get with Donovan Mitchell. It's just really up to Joe Ingles and his awkward shooting form. to see if they're gonna have a shot to win it. And I'm gonna play contrarian. I'm going Houston. I'm going Houston in seven. I think it's gonna go seven. So I'm gonna go Houston in seven.
All right, let's just touch on James Harden again one more time. I know we've kind of talked this point into the ground, but just to say it one more time in sort of a different way, I think this is a huge postseason for the legacy of James Harden. Because if you go back in time to some of the playoff debacles that he's had, and now he's clearly established himself as one of the best, let's say, three players, four players, five players, whatever number you want to throw out there, he's definitely a top five player in the league at this point.
And is he a top 50 player all time, Mike?
I mean, he's close. I mean, he's going to – I think he's – so in the MVP voting in the last 3 years, he finished – he's first last year, second to Russ.
The year before.
I think he was third, and now this year he's probably going to be first or second. So that's a pretty good four-year run in the MVP race. I think he's probably a top 50 player, but it's so hard to
– he's a top 50 regular season player.
Correct. That's where my difficulty always lies with him is can what he does be sustained over four series over the course of that 2 month or 2.5 month playoff season? And to this point, it hasn't proved that his style of play or his conditioning or his whatever it is, his mentality has not allowed him to rise up and come through in the biggest moments. That's not to say he hasn't had good playoff games and come through in some moments, but there's enough of a history there that if I was a Rockets fan, I'd be nervous that, man, is this guy going to come through when we really need him the most? And that's not where you want to be sitting with your superstar when you're rolling into a playoff series. So I picked the Jazz to finish second in the West back when we made our regular season predictions. And so I'm going to stick with the Jazz and say that they're going to go ahead and knock off the Rockets in six games.
All right. So we're going to move to arguably what I think is the worst of the four Western Conference game series, and that's Portland, Oklahoma City. I think it's the worst series. I know that Golden State's going to sweep the Clippers, but at least the Golden State's exciting. I don't know.
And nothing... I disagree with you.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I disagree with you. I kind of think this series is pretty interesting.
Oh,
there's,
okay.
There's some interesting subplots in the series that intrigue me more than Nuggets Spurs. I think Nuggets Spurs is the series I'm probably the least interested in the West.
Really? Okay. Well, good. I'm glad we disagree.
All right. Let's talk Blazers Thunder. Go ahead.
Yeah. Here's my thing. When I think about the Portland Trailblazers, I don't know who is going to really have to be able to step up. You know, we know Dame Lillard, and you know he hasn't really had the best playoff. You know, he had that
one
buzzer.
He was bad last year. The Pelicans.
He was really bad, really bad.
Took him out last year.
So I don't know. I think the Blazers.
Enos Kanter?
Oh God! Listen, if you want a good joke or a good tweet, then you go to Enos Kanter. I don't know that you're going to put him on the floor. And the fact that he plays Oklahoma City in this series is pretty funny. I just don't know. That guy's injury, Nurkic, I think that pretty much...
That's the shame of the Blazers season is that Nurkic went down.
That sunk them. And I let's be honest, I don't think they realistically had a shot to compete anyways. I think they could have gotten, you know, I think if Nurkic is healthy, they're probably strongly favored in this series. But obviously with him not there, I have Oklahoma City winning this series. Just because I think they have got more firepower. But I just don't know who's going to step up for Trailblazers. And I had a really hard time picking an X factor. I don't know. I mean, I can't say Dame Lillard. Dame Lillard is their best player, so I can't really say him. So I don't know. What did you have? Who did you have for the
part? I put down McCollum. Obviously, he's their second best player, but he's coming off an injury. And you're right. It was very, very difficult to come up with, you know, are you going to – I'm not sure Mo Harkless or
Mo Hark.
El Farouk Aminu or Zach Collins or any of these guys are really are capable of doing enough to be an X factor. So that's why I went with McCollum, even though he's clearly their second best player. I think if he plays well, then that frees up Dame to do some of the things that he does. And it's an interesting series. So I mentioned earlier some of the subplots that I think are interesting. And one is that how bad the Blazers got punked last year by the Pelicans, and Lillard was terrible in that series. And so it'll be interesting because Oklahoma City plays sort of the same style of defense that the Pelicans threw at Portland last year, where they, you know, they rush the pick and roll with, you know, and trap and try to get the ball out of the guy's hands and put pressure on the ball. And so I think it'll be interesting to see how McCollum handles that. And I'm sorry, how Lillard handles that. And I think he's going to bounce back. I think he's going to have a really good series. I'm not sure that Portland's going to win the series, but I'll be stunned if Lillard doesn't have a prototypical Lillard regular season type numbers playoff series. I'll be very surprised.
The last time they played, he scored 51 against them.
Yeah, I mean, he's good. I mean, come on. He's been on an all NBA team. I think I read 4 times, and he's been talked about in the media sort of as a guy who's just a tremendous leader and helps to set the culture of that team. And so those are the kind of guys that you think that they're likely to come through in big moments. And so I'd like to see that for him. I'd like to see the Blazers win this series, but I'm not sure if they're going to or not, but I think that it's definitely a referendum on Lillard as what kind of a guy is he. Is he going to be the guy that didn't come through last year, or is he going to be more the guy that he showed in years past in the playoffs where he was very, very good? So I'm curious to watch Lillard and see what happens with that.
So I guess I'll go with my X factor player is Enes Kanter. Can he drive the whole Oklahoma City bench nuts? That's what I'm going
to
go with.
He very well may be able to. Kanter is very good at that. All right, my key guy for the Thunder, just like you said, you had a hard time looking at the Blazers. I had a real hard time looking at the Thunder and trying to pick anyone besides one of their main three guys as the key player. And the honest truth is, I don't know that anybody makes any difference except for Russ, in terms of Russell has to be at his best, and at his best means there's a balance between playmaking and scoring, means that he understands situational basketball and when is a good time for him to shoot and when is not a good time for him to shoot. And I just think that he's such a driving force on that team that to pick anyone else is that the key player just seems disingenuous. I just don't think it's true.
Russ is
the guy.
So I actually have Steven Adams, and here's my reasoning.
Okay.
Is his back going to hold up? Because I genuinely think that maybe Steven, you know, much like you have Chris Paul's hamstring.
Right.
I'm going to go Steven Adams' back because I can't imagine, Mike, that he's going to be playing 5 years from now, 4 years from now. Because he misses so many games with his back issues.
But does that matter? Does Steven Adams' presence matter that much in this series?
Well, who does Portland have to guard him? Nurkic is injured. Who's going to guard him?
Right, but are Russ and Paul George feeding Steven Adams?
No, it's Steven Adams. It's his offensive rebounding and resetting the offense that I think is the reasoning this is coming from a guy who had Steven Adams on his fantasy team and helped him do very well because he kept getting double doubles and getting lots of offensive rebounds. So I just know that that's where they need him really more than anything. He's not a great defensive player. He's not great on the defensive end, like protecting the paint for a big guy, but his offensive rebounding is what really, I think, helps Oklahoma City. And if you look at the numbers over the last, they've been playing so bad, his numbers are down. His offensive rebounding is down. His rebounding is down. And I know he missed a few games because of his back. So that's why I said Steven Adams was my X factor.
That's fair. Like I said, I still think it all comes down to Russ and what kind of shots he's willing to take or not take and how much he's going to involve his teammates and at what point in the game. But
you really picking Russ because you want to talk about his fashion a little bit.
I do not want to talk about that at all. I'll pass on talking about Russ's fashion.
Are you picking Oklahoma City or are you picking Portland? I know you're rooting for Portland.
All right, I'm definitely rooting for Portland in this series. I'd like to see Lillard move on and get a chance to get into the second round and, you know, match up with whoever comes out of that Nuggets-Spurs series. But I think realistically, I'm going to pick Thunder in six.
Okay, I'm picking the Thunder in five.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know. They're both these teams are, you know, Portland's compromised because of the Nurkic injury, and so the way they've played all year, you can't really, without Nurk, you can't really adequately judge what they are at this point. And Oklahoma City's been so up and down, and we don't know what's going on with Paul George's shoulder. But I think Oklahoma City's ceiling is higher if George and Russ and Steven Adams are all playing well. I think they're better. I think they're better than the Blazers without Nurkic. So Thunder in six.
Okay. All right, so the last series, which you're going to say is the worst series of the Western Conference, we got Denver versus San Antonio. I think it's a little intriguing because I'm pretty sure everyone had written off San Antonio this year, Mike. I don't know, you know, it's really
hard.
Yeah,
I would agree. I don't think anybody really thought they were making the playoffs.
It's really hard to write off a team that's coached by Greg Popovich, but, you know, there was a lot of things that they endured through the season too. You know, Greg lost his wife. They had all the stuff going on with, just the trade, Kawhi leaving, DeMar DeRozan, having to throw him into it. And I just think it was crazy how everyone kind of just, no one's really talking about San Antonio. And I think that's, you know, going to stick in the craw of some of these players. They're doubting us, blah, 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 blah. They don't think we can do it. And I'm not saying they're going to win because, quite frankly, I think Denver's the better team, obviously. But I think San Antonio has a shot if they do it the right way. And my X-Factor player is the aforementioned DeMar DeRozan. Now, I know you could say, I don't know. I think it's a toss-up whether him or LaMarcus Aldridge is the best player. Who would you say is better, DeMar DeRozan?
LaMarcus Aldridge is a better player.
Okay, so I'm going to say
LaMarcus Aldridge is going to be in the Hall of Fame, and he's got, I forget how many times he's been an All-Star, but he's been on several All-NBA teams, and I would definitely pick LaMarcus. I watched DeMar DeRozan, just like I watched Kyle Lowry in the Eastern Conference playoffs with the Raptors. Too many times shrink from the moment. So you're not going to convince me that DeMar DeRozan is going to be the difference maker in this series.
Okay. Well, I'm saying he's the X factor. Cause if he shows up, they might have a shot, but if he doesn't show up, they have no shot.
He's not showing up.
Okay.
I'm telling you now, he's going to be below whatever his season averages are. He's going to be below those as a playoff player. So my guy from the Spurs, well, let's start with the Spurs. So my guy from the Spurs is Derek White, point guard. And I think he's going to be key, really good defensive player, and, you know, averages about 10 points a game. But I think he'll be the key to what they're going to try to do defensively. So I'm guessing he's going to be on Jamal Murray. And if he can take Murray out of the game, then maybe that gives San Antonio a better shot because now – they can control what Jokic is doing, maybe force him to be more of a scorer as opposed to a passer if White can neutralize Jamal Murray. So that's why I went with Derek White. And then on the Nuggets side of it, I went Paul Millsap because Paul Millsap's one of those versatile defenders that's going to be able to switch across more than one position. He's been in and out of the lineup with injuries, which – seems like he always is in and out of the lineup with injuries every year. Yeah. But if he's healthy, he's a 6'7", 6'8 guy that plays well at both ends. He can still score as an offensive player. He's probably not as good defensively as he was a couple of years ago, but He's certainly better than any rookie that you're going to throw in there in those positions. So I think whatever minutes he gets, it's going to be a positive. And if I look at this series is interesting to me because nobody has any idea, myself included, of what Denver really is or is not. And we don't know if they're for real as the second seed. Are they a complete fraud as a second seed? I think by the third game of this series, we're going to really have a good feel for, hey, Denver's got it figured out versus, oh, man, I'm not sure what Denver exactly is or has beyond Anthony Davis. So I'm picking the Nuggets. I think the Nuggets are going to probably win this series. I'm going to say Nuggets in five.
Yeah, so I had I was up in the air between Millsap and Harris as my key guys. I think, you know, Millsap's been around the, you know, he's the highest paid player on the Nuggets, Mike.
I believe it.
He's making like $29 million a year. But I you know, I just think that with the two of them, between the two of them, it's going to be key for them to shut down. If Millsap can stay healthy and can somewhat guard LaMarcus Aldridge, because I'm guessing that's who's going to – or will they put Jokic on LaMarcus Aldridge? Or will they put – what do you think?
I don't know. Aldridge floats outside. I mean, I know he can shoot threes. He more likes those deep twos. He posts up far away from the basket and then shoots his little turnaround jumper that, you know, the ball starts up way above his head and it's almost unblockable. I don't know. I'm not sure.
I mean, I don't know. And Mason Plumlee, by the way, the only person to play every single regular season game for the Denver Nuggets, Mike.
Nice
Mason
work. Plumlee. Nice work by the Plumleys.
Yeah, so must be that high school.
That's right. Price school.
Price school, thank you. you know, I don't know. I think I have Denver winning the series. I have Denver winning it in six. I think San Antonio is going to steal two somewhere. I don't know where. I think Denver, because Denver's an unproven commodity, and San Antonio is a perennial playoff team. And I just think the coaching staff. You know, I love Mike Malone, but I think Popovich obviously is way better than him. And I think they're just going to figure out ways to prepare and beat Denver. And I think they're going to beat them twice, but I think Denver's going to end up winning the series. So I'm going to go Denver in six.
Okay, so here's my question that I think is one that everybody's going to be looking at and trying to find out the answer to. Jokic is so good and so special as a passer for a guy his size, and we all know that Denver runs their offense through him, and he's the main creative guy. And so what I'm going to find interesting is when – games get tight, when series get tight, and it's going to come down to the best player on your team going to get a shot and creating the best possible shot for that scenario. I just don't know, like, can Denver put the ball in Jokic's hands and say, hey, go get us a bucket? And if they can't, then they're relying upon their motion game, their basketball IQ, their ability to play in space. And I don't know. I just don't know if Jokic. I just don't know if Jokic.
So are you
Jokic
predicting an upset special here?
No, I'm not, because I don't think the Spurs are capable of doing that. But I don't think the Nuggets get to the Western Conference Finals.
No, I think whoever wins that other series, Mike, is in the Western Conference Finals, which is ridiculous. That we're either going to have a Portland team that has no Nurkic, or we're going to have Oklahoma City that's – I think either one of those teams will beat this team, I think, personally.
Yeah, I agree. Well, it's going to be – well, in the next round, it would be, right, Warriors, Clippers, and then the winner – they're going to play the winner of the Rockets, Jazz.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm saying – I think – that's what I'm saying. I think whoever wins the – you know,
Blazers Thunder.
Thunder is in the Western Conference Final.
Yeah, that side of the bracket is so much weaker. It's unbelievable. Yeah, I mean, it really is. When you really
If you look at Golden State, I think they got a terrible draw.
Oh, they got a terrible draw. They got an awful draw. I mean, they're, you know, I mean, I don't know. I guess of the teams at the bottom of the Clippers, Spurs, and Thunder, I think they probably got the best deal. I think the Clippers are probably the worst of those three teams. But then just having to play the winner of the Jazz Rockets, which I think are the two teams that could legitimately make a case or try to convince themselves that they could actually have a chance against the Warriors versus I'm not sure that Portland, Oklahoma City, San Antonio, or Denver could really look themselves in the mirror and say, hey, if we get a shot at Golden State, we're going to beat them. I don't know. I don't see that happening.
Yep, I agree. I agree.
All right, let's talk about so we're going to move forward with the rest of the playoffs based on kind of our picks. So we have the Warriors squaring off with – you have them going up against the Rockets. I have them going up against the Jazz. I'm going to pick the Warriors to advance no matter who they're playing in that series.
Yep.
And then in the other series, we both have Nuggets, Thunder, correct?
Yeah, and I'm going to take the Thunder.
All right, and I know I just spent 5 minutes bashing the Nuggets, but I'm going to take the Nuggets in that series.
Okay.
So that would leave us with Nuggets Warriors as – that would be me with Nuggets Warriors in the Western Conference Finals.
I'll have the Warriors and the Thunder, which sadly that means the Warriors are going to the finals either.
Correct. The Warriors are going to the finals. I don't think there's – I think only the Rockets and I think the Jazz in some crazy fashion where everybody on the Jazz plays to the highest level that they're capable of and Golden State ends up having some kind of issues, whether that's injury related or chemistry.
Do you think, and this is just me spitballing here, do you think there's any chance that if they play Denver in the Western Conference Finals, that having to play in Denver and having to play with that altitude would affect them, or do you think that's not going to matter?
I don't know. I don't think it matters. I mean, on a one-game basis, you know, plus by the time they're there for the second game, they'll have been at altitude for a couple days with a day off in between. So I don't know. The altitude effect, I'm not sure –
It doesn't have the same effect as, say, a football game where you're playing one football game and you're playing outside and all that stuff. So I can see where you're coming from. I understand. I just wondered what you thought about that.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know. I mean, when I was playing, I know we played at the U.S. Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, and I remember thinking about whether or not the altitude would affect me going into the game. And then I remember after the game feeling that the altitude didn't affect me at all. That there was no discernible difference in my wind or my, you know, my stamina. So again, that was my own one personal experience of playing a game at a higher altitude, and I didn't feel like it made really any difference. Now, I'm sure there's probably scientific studies out there that say that it does make a difference. How much of a difference does it make? How many points is it worth? I don't know. I'm not sure that for professional athletes that they can't, over the course of the 7-game series, over the course of a 48-minute game, that they can't overcome whatever disadvantage that, you know, the altitude might provide.
Okay. Just was wondering what you thought. So.
Gotcha. All right. Well, I can't think of anything else that we need to touch on. We did our Eastern Conference.
One more thing. David Griffin. David Griffin, New Orleans Pelicans. What's your thoughts?
Okay, one, good hire. Credible basketball guy that has respect with people around the league. So that's something that's very, very important as far as what's going to happen with the Pelicans. I would imagine, and I could be wrong, but I would imagine that the very first thing that David Griffin did or is going to do is to try to have a sit down with Anthony Davis and figure out where his mind is at. What
is he gonna wear? Is Anthony Davis gonna wear that's all shirt to that meeting?
He might. You never know. It's a nice shirt, so he might end up putting that shirt back on and walking to the meeting. But in all seriousness, the first thing Griffin's going to do is have a meeting with Anthony Davis and try to convince him why he should stay and how they're going to change the culture. And he's not wrong for saying that. I doubt it's going to work. But who knows? Who knows?
I mean, he is LeBron's guy, though, so maybe Anthony will listen to him.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I don't know. It's just, yeah, that'll be very interesting to see how Griffin does and what eventually happens with Davis and the Lakers and whether he goes there or whether he goes somewhere else and what kind of trade packages are out there. And, you know, the first domino in that whole thing is where the number one pick goes. And where the number one pick goes is going to determine a lot of the other things that are important to us.
We'll find that out on May 14th, I think, is the date.
Sounds about right. That sounds about right. All right, Jason, I can't think of anything else. I'm looking forward to watching some of this NBA playoff basketball over the next weeks. The first round is actually my favorite because you get so many games. You get the doubleheaders, and I love the West Coast games that I can watch at 10:30 at night when everybody at my house goes to bed. And, you know, I don't spend a lot of time watching a lot of these teams in the West during the regular season. So I'm looking forward to being able to catch a bunch of games and see where it goes. So
I think our plan, will our plan try to do weekly updates? You want to try to do that?
Yeah, I definitely think we'll probably check back in. And then if there's any interesting happenings in one series or another, you know, maybe we'll jump on and do some shorter ones, throw in a 10 or 15 minute one occasionally. What's your one thing that you're looking forward to the most as the playoffs coming forward? I know what mine is.
Here's mine. Not worrying about who the heck the Cavs are going to have to play. I think I'm going to enjoy this postseason way more than I've enjoyed the last four. And that's kind of crazy to think considering we won a championship and they've been in the finals, but they're stressful, Mike. And I'm kind of glad that we're not having any stress this year. I think it's going to be good for my health, so to speak. Right. I don't know.
I'm going to completely disagree. So for me, the fact that, you know, I'm not going to have, you know, a hometown team to root for, a team that I'm going to live and die with, to me, that takes away from the experience, because one of the things that kept me intrigued about the rest of the playoff series, unless there was something compelling about a player or a team or somebody that I had a rooting interest in, the Cavs being there and playing kept me engaged with, hey, who are they going to play and what's happening over there and who's going to meet us in the finals? And you're right, there is some, and I don't know if I'd call it stress, but just more on my end, I always feel like it's, you know, like it's excitement that the fact that your hometown team is in the playoffs, first of all, and then made it to four straight finals is kind of incredible. So I'm not looking forward to not having the Cavs in. I wish they were in, and I relish that idea that they – you know, that I get to keep track of everything else that's going on to see who they're going to play and what the road looks like. And I liked all that stuff. So I kind of disagree with you on that one.
So what are you looking forward to most then?
Okay. I'm looking forward to Giannis and getting an opportunity to watch Giannis over the next, whatever, 6 to 8 weeks, however long it's going to be, to play into June. I think he's ready to become the best player in the league. I really do. And he's just got such a unique body and such a unique way of playing. And he's so good defensively to go along with everything that he does on offense. And to be honest, I probably haven't gotten a chance to watch him as much as I would like to. So I'm looking forward to him being an integral part of the playoffs and the key guy on what is going to hopefully be at least an Eastern Conference championship team. And that's going to put him in the spotlight very, very frequently. And so I'm looking forward to just watching him and the things that he can do. And I think he's on his way to being the best player. And that's going to be exciting to watch and see if he can take his team, who is, you know, arguably not as talented as the other three teams in the East that they're going to compete with. And it'll be interesting to see if he can put the Bucks on his back at times when he's really needed. And if he's the kind of guy that can do that. And I think he is, but he hasn't won a playoff series yet in his career, so it's unproven until you do it. So that's what I'm looking forward to the most, is just seeing more and more and more of Giannis.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to watching him too, and just kind of seeing what kind of game he brings to the table in the playoffs. And I think the big thing is, how's that ankle, and hopefully it's good. And, you know, they've said he's not going to sit out. It's the playoffs. But, you know, he's got to watch and see if they handle him a little differently with his ankle.
They should be able to dispatch Detroit with Giannis playing 30 minutes a game. And I'm guessing he's gonna have a couple fourth quarters in that series where he's not even gonna get off the bench. So
hopefully, and
then you know maybe that the Boston Indiana series has the potential to go 6 or 7 games, and maybe he gets some rest, and that gets him close back to 100%. But I'm really looking forward to seeing him play and seeing what he can do on the big stage. So thanks for listening, everybody out there, and we will catch you on our next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.